Welcome to the Woodridge Baptist Church Podcast. For more information about what's happening in the life of our church, visit our website at www.woodridge.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Now I want to turn to each other. Now last week, we jumped right in the deep end, and we talked what it means with Jesus. He says, as for you, here's how people are going to know that you're really following me, is that you love other people. Now, we are the very best at fooling ourselves because bottom line is we have a tendency to like to, well, we want to believe certain things about ourselves. But when you stop and you ask other people, what do you see about the church, and especially those that are unchurched, which by the way is about half of our country right now, they tend to be saying something a little bit different than what people in the church are saying about themselves. In other words, not necessarily with any undue beating up of the church. They're just saying, well, you know, 80% of them, for example, said, I would love to have a spiritual conversation because I don't believe in God necessarily, but I think it's important. And if God exists, that's a game changer. 80% of them are saying that. You go, well, how many people are having that conversation with you? And guess what? Basically nobody. And the impression that it gives the unchurched is that the people in the church don't really care. Is that the impression that we want to give? Well, Jesus says, I've called you to something higher and to something more, a completely different way of life. And they will know this. They're not going to know that you follow me by your bickering and your self-centeredness. They're going to know that you follow me by the way you love each other. That's how they're going to know. And bottom line is you might pull the wool over your eyes. You're not going to pull the wool over their eyes. They will know. It was reminding me, as we look into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today, I was reminded of a movie. Anybody out there a fan of the Avengers? You know what I'm talking about? Well, you probably do, even if you don't watch it. The movies go back to like 2012, and in the movie The Avengers, the story, there's a group of superheroes. Now, there's this guy that's kind of a Thor's brother, Loki. He's not good people, just so you know. And you can imagine me having to fight a guy that's basically a demigod. How do you think that's going to go for me? It's probably not going to go well. And so you have this group that is basically just a group of people, no superpowers necessarily, and they're having to fight against this guy, and they're getting took, which is what would happen to us as well. However, there are these other group of people that have superpowers and abilities, and you know, it might be a good idea to rope that gang in so that they can help us out with the fight, right? Some of you have heard, for example, of the Incredible Hulk. And as a kid, I'm just going to tell you, he was my favorite because, well, he was the Hulk. So they tried to draw these superheroes in to band them together to battle an evil force that was bent on world domination. The only problem was the superheroes had a hard time banding together. For about the first half of the movie, they're each caught up in their own agendas. They squabble, they backbite each other, they distrust each other's motives, and as a result, the whole of the group was actually less than the sum of its parts. And the bad guy, just so you know, was smart enough, I know that shocks you, but he was smart enough to anticipate all of this, and he actually counted on their lack of unity in order to accomplish his plan. They're never going to get their act together, and that's only going to help me. He almost won, just so you know, because of the Avengers. They failed to realize that it took all of them, each using their own gift, to beat that guy. They just sit there and fight. There's one point in the movie, a character named Nick Fury, played by Samuel L. Jackson. Isn't he handsome? Played by Samuel L. Jackson. So when it looks as though the team had completely fallen apart, Nick Fury says this to the team. He said, the idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if they could become something more, to see if they could work together when we needed them to, and to fight the battles that we never could. That was the goal. What was the problem for the Avengers? They just couldn't get out of their own way. That was the problem. Now, why do I bring this up? I bring this up because of a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and more, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says this. It says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Now, when you think about the body, and Paul is using this example for a reason, the body does what the head tells it to do. I mean, that is the job of the body. It is not the job of the finger to act like it's the brain. It's not. The brain is the brain. The finger is the finger, the arm is the arm. Jesus is called the head of the church. We are called the body. And so what this means is that we are supposed to follow the marching orders of the brain or the head. And that means that we're following the commands of Jesus. Just so you know, the body is used 13 times in this chapter, is usually connected with the word members. That's what it's connected to for Paul. That is the individual parts of the body. Now, membership in a church, I was talking with somebody about this not long ago, and they said, you know, I just don't see anything in Scripture that tells me I'm supposed to be a member of a church. I said, I would encourage you to go read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because this is where we get it from. Membership in a church comes from this word. But you have to remember, a member is a functioning part of the body. It has a function and it has a use. It doesn't just have a set of beliefs. It has those, but it doesn't just have those. So, if you are detached from the body of Jesus, there's going to be a breakdown in the functioning of the body. That is the way it works. If you are detached from the body of Jesus, there will be a breakdown in the functioning of the body. Let me give you an example. If I chop off my foot and then I throw it over here, we're going to have two losers. The first loser is whoever I hit my foot with. I'm kidding. You have two different losers. Now, one, I'm losing. And the reason I'm losing is because, well, I don't have a foot, right? So that's obvious. I lose because I'm detached from, well, my foot's detached from the rest of my body, and so is disconnected from the benefits of the rest of me. After all, my foot's over there. And by the way, once it gets chopped off, starts to die, doesn't it? My body loses because it doesn't get the benefit of my foot. There are two different losers there. Now, the reason that I'm bringing this up is because we have to start rethinking what it means to be a part of a church. Here, I'm just talking to Woodridge, but this really applies from Paul to the global church. We have to rethink things. Let me give you an example. One of the things that I have become disenchanted with out of the mouths of people, and I don't necessarily mean you, I'm just meaning in general, is when a person says, well, I'm not going to go to church because I'm not getting fed there. I'm a seller, not a buyer on that. I'm a seller, not a buyer. Now, it is the job of the church to teach the word of God, for sure. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, the highest calling of the pastor is to be the pastor teacher. That is the highest calling. And so what that means is the pastor has the responsibility of rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's a serious responsibility, because as you rightly divide the word of truth, it helps us to see the world the way that God sees it and live it the way he wants us to live it. That's important. It's important. But the idea that the reason that we go to church is so that somebody can spoon feed you like you're a baby, we got to get over this. We got to pull the bib off at some point and say, no, we were called to something in the church. And what we were called to last week we saw is to love. And love is not just something that you feel. It is an action that you perform. It is what you do. And so when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the idea of feeding is, you see it from Jesus himself, when he pulls Peter aside after some amazing failures in his life, and he says, if you're going to follow me, feed my sheep. He doesn't say, sit there and get fed all the time. He says, feed them. Last week I gave you this example of fondue. You know what I'm talking about? The chocolate that just keeps pouring. It just keeps going. I could take a strawberry, I could put it into that chocolate, and I could hand it to you. And I could put it in the chocolate, and I could hand it to you. And it just seems like it keeps pouring over. What we're supposed to see is this is the way that God is supposed to be working in our life, that as we follow him, he empowers us for more, not less. It's in the doing of the Christian life, not in just sitting there and being done for in the Christian life, is what it means to be a part of the body of Jesus itself. So instead of saying, feed me all the time, what Paul is saying here is no, feed. Feed. And here's why. It's because if you chop your foot off and you throw it over there, it's not much good to the body. And it's not much good to the foot either. You got two losers. And that's why it matters. Here's another reason, and you see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Is because Paul says there's been a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. You're going to find it again in verse 11. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. You go, what does that even mean? I'll tell you what it means. That means that when God is giving out spiritual gifts, no follower of Jesus missed the gift-giving party. You've got at least one. You might have more, but you certainly don't have less. The only question that we have is are we portioning that gift through the work in the local church, or are we chopping our foot off, throwing it over there and saying, I've got time for other things? We got to answer that. We all have at least one gift that God has given us that is meant to be poured, as he says, a portion to each as he wills in what he gives you for the common good. You even see in verses 15 through 17 in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, if the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. It's not for that reason any less part of the body. Of course you are. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it's not that reason any less part of the body, because of course it is. In other words, you have a part of the body saying they want to be a part of the body, and that creates a problem for everybody. Sometimes we just spend too much time worrying about the gifts we don't have. Why don't I have such and so's gift? Don't waste time on it. Which ones do you have? And are you portioning them for the good of the church? And so here's what Paul says in verses 17 and 18. Now, if the whole body were an eye, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? It'd be basically an eye, right? That's just weird. As it is, there are many parts, but there is one body. I remember talking with a friend some years ago, and I said, you know, when it comes to the church, it takes all kinds. And he goes, no, we got all kinds. I said, no, Paul says it takes all kinds. Your gift put to work in the church. Now, here's another way of putting it. When a person thinks they don't need to be a part or a serving part of the church, then they think that they are a body unto themselves and not just a part of a body that is larger than themselves. Every part of the body is important, every single one. But each of us, frankly, we're only one part of the body. We're only one part. Now, the reason I bring this up is because something that Paul's trying to emphasize here is we're all important, but we ain't all that. We're one part. Every single other part of what's happening in this church is important. Every single part. So we need every member of this church to be active. When we do Discover Woodridge, people that are interested in the church, interested in joining the church, interested in learning more about the church, one of the things that we do is we tell them we believe that every single member of our church, every single one, 100%, if you want to be a member, you serve. Every member serves. You apportion the God-given gift that you have for the common good of the church. We even use spiritual gifts. It's just a test. It's a tool. That's all it is, to help find a place that we can plug somebody in. Why? Because of what we believe from 1 Corinthians 12. That's why. You're not here just to absorb. You're here to serve, to love, to do the Christian life. It's what you're here for. That's what it means to be a member. Now, we actually have a word for inactive parts of the body, or what some would actually describe as a useless organ in the body. I don't know if you know this, but it's called a vestigial organ. Now, this is debated, but some think that there are parts of your body that are basically a waste. They're not serving any part of the body as a whole for any kind of good. But what they are doing is they are taking up space. They are definitely doing that because they are in your body. Not contributing to health, not contributing to function, not contributing to the rest. But they're taking up space. The reason that I'm even emphasizing this, just to be honest with you, is because I'm burdened about the church. I'm burdened about the general state of the church. And here's why. Most people don't serve. Most people don't give. Most people don't care. And it just doesn't fit what Scripture is telling us. It doesn't fit. Now, that being said, I want to say this. For those of you that are in, what that means is you're wrapped up into something that is eternal in significance. Eternal in significance. And Jesus is not shy about saying, looking forward to the day where I can see you face to face, your work on this side of the ledger is done, and I can say, good and well done, faithful servant. He's for that. But it doesn't happen with us just sitting. It happens with us obeying. So what I'm not doing is calling each of you out individually, because you know what? We have some incredibly giving, serving, and active people in this church. Amazing people. What I'm saying is if on you're on the other side of the ledger, it's time to start rethinking things. Jesus says the people that are out there are going to know whether or not you're following him. They will know. Every part of the body is important, whether you be visible or invisible. I mean, look at what Paul says in verses 21 to 26. I mean, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. You don't work like that. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, they're indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We're all in this together, hurt and hurt, rejoicing and rejoicing. You know, it reminds me, if you've ever gone and stepped on a Lego, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I mean with bare feet. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It will wake your whole body up, won't it? Am I the only one that's done this? You got to be kidding me. Those things are like mini weapons when they're on the floor. And you step, and it hits one part of your foot, and every part of your body comes alive. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It only hit one part of the foot. We suffer together. We rejoice together. We see people come to Jesus. We rejoice together. Do you know why? It's because it was every part of the body working together for that to happen. Every single part. It's just some things are more visible than others. For example, I'm more visible than others. I don't particularly like it. It just is. It's what God wanted me to do. But think of it like this. If your muscles aren't working, what you might call an invisible, you know, you're not looking at those things. You couldn't hug your kid and you couldn't play a violin. A tendon. It's a connective tissue which attaches muscle to the bone. Tendons may also attach muscles to structures such as your eyeball. Think about that. A tendon serves to move the bone or the structure. But nobody's going to say because it's invisible, it's unimportant. And especially if you start dealing with your eyes. Nobody feels that way. Not every member has the same visibility, but that doesn't mean that they're insignificant. Every single part is significant. There are no insignificant parts of the body of Jesus, not one. So how seriously does God take all this? He takes it very seriously. Because if we're really doing things the way that Jesus says, obey me, follow me, then what we're going to be known as is a healthy body. We'll be known for that. We will be known for selfless giving. We'll be known for love. We'll be known for the things that Jesus was known for. We'll be known for it. That will be the reputation of his church. And again, I'm thinking broader than just us. His church, it's what we would be known for. Some are actually known more for cancer. And that's a problem. You know, because when you think about cancer, cancer kind of recruits. It's happy to go from one part of the body and to recruit to affect another part of the body and to recruit to affect another part of the body. Now, that's just not the plan. And we see in 1 Corinthians 3:17, it says, God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. So God is protective of his own holiness. And since they, the church, are God's temple, and since God's temple is holy, they together are holy before God. So Paul, here's what he does. He steps up the value of the church and believers in Jesus, and he does it to the highest level. And here's why. It's because a group of Christians is something far above a simple gathering of like-minded people. We are more than that. And there are other groups that are like-minded. We're supposed to be different. You're the called out ones. You're the chosen ones. You're the apportioned ones with gifts that are to be put to good use for the common good of the church. Okay. Y'all remember the Avengers? Remember those guys? By the way, the movies are kind of fun, right? Back to the Avengers. Well, if you haven't seen them, I was going to say I don't want to spoil anything for you, but the movie came out in 2012. I mean, where you been, huh? What was it that finally brought this group together? What was it? I mean, even when the bad guys had completely surrounded them, they were still fighting with each other. So there was this decision that was made. You know, Loki, demigod, evil, Thor's half-brother and whatnot, right? Him. He's still going about his bad stuff, to the surprise of nobody, because that's what he does. But he's got all these, basically, the machines that are kind of coming down. They're attacking. They're fighting everywhere. It's just trying to survive at this point. Well, there's this one of the Avengers. You kind of see him right over here in front of the Hulk. His name's Iron Man. You've probably heard of Iron Man. Tony Stark. Well, Tony Stark and Captain America, as you can see right next to him, those guys really didn't get along. In fact, in one of the movies, they're trying to decide, they were deciding whether or not they should be handed over to the United Nations under the control of the United Nations. One group said yes, one group said no, and they split and they fought each other. They just keep, stop it, stop it. But here's what happens. Things were not going well. And they knew it. They knew it. Captain America, earlier in the movie, looks at Tony Stark, who's basically a guy in a really cool outfit, right? It can fly, he can shoot missiles, lasers, he can fry stuff. I'd love to do that. But he looks at him and he says, take away your $1 billion and take away your suit and what are you? Now that had to hurt. And of course, Iron Man looks back at Captain America and he says, yeah, well, take away the serum that they put into you and what are you? All right, so the bottom line is it's not going well. But you get toward the end of the movie and Captain America, who once looks at Iron Man and he says, everything is always about you and you've never done anything for anyone except for you. The world doesn't know how to beat Loki. Now, the bad guys are everywhere. The Avengers, they're struggling. So you have the military decides to send a nuke out over the city so as to destroy as much of the bad guys as it can possibly happen. That wasn't the best move, right? Because there are people out there. And along comes Iron Man. He flies, he intercepts the nuke, and he takes it up through a portal. All right, it's fictitious, but hang in there. He takes it up through a portal, and he sends it off toward the main ship. And that nuke hits it, boom, and destroys all of the power that Loki had for everything that he had sent to destroy the world. It just goes, poof. Now, Iron Man, it came at a cost because he's falling back down to the earth, back through a portal. They look up and see he's not slowing down. It's because he wasn't alive. The Hulk catches him, puts him on the ground. Now, why do I give this example? It's not just because I like the Avengers movie. I mean, I do. What was it that brought the group together? And it was the death of one of them. That's what it was. The Lord takes very seriously what he did when he created the church. I'm ready for the church at large, worldwide, to look a lot less like the Avengers bickering and to look like a church on mission. Each one, gift apportioned by God, celebrating that and used for the common good. And here's why. I could have done something else with my life, to be honest with you. And to be totally honest with you, I preferred to do something else with my life. Pastoring wasn't it for me. And proof of that, I told my mother that when I was 12 years old. Sitting in church, I told her, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I know what I don't want to be. What's that? That guy. So I've struggled with what God has portioned for me. I'm just being honest with you. I've struggled with it. I would have preferred law or medicine. There you go. Full honesty. It was only when I was in college that I started to look and say, I'm going to accept the call. I ran for a while. I didn't want it. But I also got to a place to see what God had called me to. And I end today with this because it was a moment I'll never forget, and it was with my pulmonologist. I was severe asthmatic, about took me out literally a couple of times. And I remember going to see him and sitting in his office. He wanted me to go and study medicine. He said, you've been there, you've suffered. You can do this and you can relate. I go to my last visit with him because he was leaving private practice. And I remember sitting down with him. And he said, well, what do you think you're going to do? And I'm at that point in my life where I got to make some choices. And I said, I've decided to go to seminary. He was like, ah. Oh. And I thought I'd disappointed him, to be honest with you. But here's what he said. He said, God gave me a gift so that I can help to heal people's bodies. He's given you a gift to help heal people's souls. And I never forgot that. I never forgot that. I just want to say this to you. That task has actually been portioned to all of us. I just have a unique role in the situation of playing that out. But it's all of us together.
We hope you have enjoyed the podcast. For more information about our church, visit www.woodridge.org.